Writer Calvin Trillin, who goes by Bud, writes topical verse from a decidedly liberal point of view. He's The Nation magazine's deadline poet. He's written for The New Yorker, The New York Times, NPR. His thoughts on the presidential campaign of 2008 are now collected in a book, Deciding the Next Decider, the 2008 presidential race in rhyme. It's a look back at the whole long presidential campaign of 2008. We're about to hear several excerpts, including this stanza from the poem World Tour about Barack Obama's trip to Iraq and Europe this past summer.
McCain maintained Obama was still green. He'd judged the war, although he'd barely seen the situation firsthand on the ground, so he should make the trip and hang around. Obama did, and playing with GIs, he sank a shot that came to symbolize the trip, a soaring set shot being tried by someone new who's shooting from outside.
And Bud Trillin joins us from his home in New York. Welcome back.
Thanks very much, Rob.
I guess the question is, in reading the book, you seem most sympathetic to Barack Obama, or let's put it this way, he seems the least ripe for sarcasm. What are you going to do now?
Well, I was thinking of maybe becoming an insurance claims adjuster or some other form of livelihood. I don't know. I think we'll be okay. He is difficult to joke about, and it's partly because he's so steady and calm. And usually someone who has a pretty steady personality and demeanor is obviously harder to joke about. But I'm willing to give it a try.
Well, boy, you have a cast of characters to choose from, a wealth of material to work with. For instance, I'm looking at page 81, how the Rove of Clones would have conducted an election campaign against Nelson Mandela.
Well, that's because the Rove method has always been to attack people's strength rather than their weaknesses. So they'd sort of sneer at just 29 years in prison, whatever it was, and what nice weather they had in Robben's Island, right there in the harbor of Cape Town. And they never quite knew what to attack on Obama, and that was one of the problems.
Can we hear a little of the Rove of Clones deadline poem?
Sure. How the Rove of Clones would have conducted an election campaign against Nelson Mandela. This prison time Nelson Mandela bemoans, those years spent in labor like breaking up stones, were really not nearly as grim as you'd think. There's many worse ways to do time in the clink. Yes, sure, he broke stones. That is no real surprise. But fewer, we hear, than did some other guys. With that lovely climate, how bad could it be? It wasn't for life, or he wouldn't be free. So calling it martyrdom really is stretching. A few years in prison is no cause for kvetching. He won the Nobel, yes, but so did some Reds, some people who'd murder us all in our beds. How odd that he's honored in such far-off regions. The Nobel's the prize of a bunch of Norwegians. To win this election is now his priority. So spare us that bit about moral authority.
Calvin Trillin with his deadline poem on how Karl Rove, a spin master, might have spun Nelson Mandela if he was running against him. How much, as a satirist, will you miss Sarah Palin?
Well, there was a great moment in the campaign when Jon Stewart on The Daily Show said Sarah Palin, the Republican vice presidential candidate, and then he looked up and said, and godsend. Mm-hmm. I mean, Palin did provide some great material. There's a song in here that's a version of the Barbara Streisand standard, which is On a Clear Day, I See Vladivostok.
I could hum it.
You can hum it in the background.
Yes.
Here it is.
Okay.
On a clear day, I see Vladivostok, so I know world affairs. Don't say no way, though I know elites mock. It's osmosis that does it. Well, that and our prayers. And Joe Biden sees New Jersey from his shore, and that's just a state that doesn't rate. It's me who knows the score. On a clear day, on a clear day, I see Vladivostok and Novosibirsk and Krasnoyarsk and Novokuznetsk and Omsk and Tomsk and more. Of course, you can't see Russia from Alaska, as you probably know, except from one tiny island where she's never been.
Well, but is there a point where, you know, in writing these, You say, gee, you know, that was too easy. Or maybe, you know, here's someone who did have a huge popularity rating as a governor and has definitely galvanized the Republican base. I mean, do you say, well, maybe I should take a more serious look, or is that just not what you're doing?
I don't take serious looks. I'm not in the serious look business. I mean, I did say after the her speech at the campaign, the Palin speech, her test, it was perceived, was well delivered and was well received. The people in the hall were quite ecstatic, and impact in the country was dramatic. She was a star, yes, managing to reach that special status after just one speech. Had anyone done such a thing before? Well, duh, Barack Obama in 04.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, you know, we spoke to P.J. O'Rourke recently, who wrote a scathing commentary on conservatives, but also on liberals, and he, you know, just talked about them in personal ways, you know, that they don't value life and they will all live on the south side of Chicago once Barack Obama is president. And I asked him if, you know, this kind of language was what's helped sink the conservatives, because that's what he was saying, they were sunk. And I guess the same thing to you. I mean, especially with the Democrats completely in power across the board, is that kind of, you know, poking at the Palins, the McCains, is that kind of not fair, too personal, too divisive?
Well, in the first place, this book isn't about when the Democrats were in control across the board, which they're not yet. They will be. And I think that generally people like me make fun of whoever is in power. The stuff I've written about George Bush is because he's been in power for 8 years. But I don't see that it's divisive to make fun of people. I don't think anybody, certainly John McCain doesn't think that. One of the saving graces of this whole thing was that he could go on Leno and or Letterman, whatever it was, and make fun of himself and be funny.
Well, and by the way, that may be the point, too, that it's making fun of the people in power, not average Americans. And, you know, there's a difference between making fun of the people in power and the poor schlep out on the street.
Well, absolutely. There's no reason to make fun of people who aren't in power or have some sort of power.
Well, so back to President-elect Barack Obama and what Calvin Trillin is going to do to make fun of him, because that's your job. And I'm wondering, with that in mind, what do you make of Joan Didion in the New York Times? And P.J. O'Rourke was quoted in the same column, Joan Didion saying that the U.S. in the Obama era has become an irony-free zone. And that's sort of like everything's off the table with the first, not just the first elected African-American president, but one who is so seemingly somber.
I'm not sure if he's somber. He's certainly, he's not funny. I think that there's a natural inclination to sort of see what's going to happen first before people start on people. But there was plenty to make fun of the Clinton administration, and I've been doing the Deadline poetry since 1990. So I started with George H.W. Bush and then went through 8 years of Clinton, and I didn't have any problem finding subjects in those years. I don't think I'll have any problem with Obama. And I mean, some people just have an odd view of the world, and it doesn't change with whoever's in power.
Yeah. Calvin Trillin, the Nation magazine's Deadline poet, also author of the new book, Deciding the Next Decider, the 2008 Presidential Race in Rhyme. Calvin, thanks so much for looking back and ahead with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. Nice to talk to you again.